to bring me back to life.
What is up? It is a joint edition of the Bag Clan and Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast today, because we have an old friend on the podcast from last year, Dr. Edwin Porras, back on. How are you doing, Edwin?
I'm doing really well, and I was actually kind of hoping you'd let that song play throughout. It's a banger, man. That's Eminem, and that's an Eminem and Dre banger. I think people forget about that one. That's a good one. But yeah, no, I appreciate you having me. I'm excited to be on.
I knew that that was up your alley, so that's why I decided to go that and not, you know, Dr. Feel Good or something like that, you know, one of the older songs. But
yeah, I'm not even sure what that song is, so it's a good thing that you went with the shady song.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. An old classic rock song, but no, just a reminder for anybody who has joined us recently, Dr. Porras is doctor of physical therapy. Wow, I have all this written down and I butchered it. It's almost like intros are hard, Blake. Who knew?
Hey, it's the preseason.
Right. Preseason. You're knocking the rust off. You're not even in a dress rehearsals yet. It's fine. Try it again.
Yeah. No, yeah. Our intros have been a nightmare all fucking preseason, Edwin. So it's just bad. But Edwin is a doctor of physical therapy and a PT for the Minnesota Twins, as well as a medical analyst for fantasypoints.com and host of the Injury Prone podcast. Did I hit it all?
You hit it all, man. I'm trying to make that podcast grow a little bit. I think it's every time people discover it, if somebody new discovers it, it'll be like a handful of people a month will be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know your podcast existed. So I'm trying to push it. I think people enjoy it. I think people like it. It's usually no more than like 15 minutes of just discussing injury implications and basically what we're going to do tonight. So just a shorter version. I know that there's a lot of fantasy content out there to consume from a lot of different people. So yeah, the Injury Prone podcast, subscribe, rate, send me a question at injuryprone pod@gmail.com. I'll try to answer it. I mean, just trying to grow that sucker. So let's do that.
Yeah, and I just listened to the podcast that you had speaking about the different types of running back, because I think it was from about a month ago, and you specifically highlighted Zeke and Derrick Henry, and that is a great one. Lots of numbers in that one, but a really, really good one if you're just looking for a intro podcast going into draft season, and you know, specifically more on the dynasty side as well, looking at running back cliffs, age cliffs. But we'll kick it off here, and I just want to know, I guess my first question is, would you like to apologize to our listeners for pushing Saquon Barkley so much last year?
No, I will not apologize to the listeners, and I'll tell you why. And we can have this conversation 100 times over. You know exactly yes. Which button to push. You know exactly which button to push. Let's see. He's on the show sheet. We'll get there. But I will not apologize because I lost just as much money. All right. And I'm just as disappointed, but I'm back in. We'll talk about it later. No apology.
Yeah, we didn't get the question itself, but I guarantee you that we have one specific listener that would have sent it in if he would have known that you were on here, because after listening to last year's podcast in one of our home leagues, he's like, all right, cool. I'm in on Saquon. I'll take him in the first round, and bang, that didn't go so well. But no, I guess going into this season, you know, we're going to talk about preseason and stuff like that, but what is one player you're looking at that you're just terrified of going into this season?
Yeah, I don't know if I would say terrified, but I do think that I'm hesitant to hit draft. In fact, I don't think I will. It's Derrick Henry. Listen, we've all been doing this for like 2 or 3 years now. Like, is this going to be the year for Derrick Henry? Is this going to be the year for Derrick Henry? You mentioned that episode I did about a month ago comparing Derrick Henry and Zeke. And really the crux of it is that, yes, the starting point is we've never had anybody like Derrick Henry to compare him to. We've never had anyone even close. The dude's like 6'3", like 250 pounds or something. Like he's literally a defensive end out there running the football. So we don't have anything to compare him to. I understand that. If you go back and listen to that whole episode, essentially what you need from a top five, you know, really a top three, you know, to five running back in some instances for Derrick with Derrick Henry is you need passing down work and you need health and you need performance. One of the things that got pointed out, I think it was Bill Barnwell pointed this out, is that even before the injury, his explosive run rate, Derrick Henry's explosive run rate was starting to decrease, and his efficiency's actually decreased every year over the last three seasons. You add in that, long story short, this fracture he had in his foot, we can't know this for a fact, but, and if you follow me for any amount of time, you know that I'm not a guy to rail, like wear and tear injury-free mileage not really a thing. But when you're 6'3", 250 pounds, maybe it is a thing. After all, he is an outlier. And I think the workload and the frame and the size and the age finally caught up to him. And I think that was a stress reaction in his foot. If it wasn't a stress reaction, it definitely was something that was building. So adding all that into the fact that, you know, all the efficiency metrics, in addition to, they're just a bad offense. I mean, he's going to have to put up again for like third season in a row historic rushing rate numbers, right? Like historic rushing numbers. And I don't even know if the touchdowns will be there is the thing. So if he's not, you know, exploding out of the, you know, his explosive run rate's down, his efficiency is down, the offense is bad. He's aging. He's 28. He's never seen any more than, you know, 20 targets, I think, or 20 receptions. I'm not sure. It was either targets or receptions in a season. I just don't know how you can use a top five overall pick, even a top 10 overall pick on Derrick Henry. At least I can't personally.
Well, that's what I was about to say, because you just tweeted this week that you can't see yourself using a top 10 pick on Derrick Henry. So I guess that begs the question is, where are you taking him in drafts if he falls?
I'm not. I guess he's a full fade for me. I mean, I think he's a full fade for me, man. I really do.
I'm with you on that. I've been thinking this the whole season, and then I'm going to get in that because we for our redraft, we get picks just an hour before. It's just kind of been a tradition. I'm afraid I'm going to get that pick where he's going to naturally lie, where it's going to be like, well, you're dumb if you don't take Derrick Henry. And I can't do it this year. And I've faded him the last several years for the very reasons you're talking about, a big frame and tear, but he's never had the injury. And now he has, and I can't do it myself either.
Yeah, and I just think that there's a non-zero chance we look back in 2023 or even 2024 and we say, oh yeah, that Jones fracture was the writing on the wall. Like that was our telltale sign that it was coming to an end. And again, I don't necessarily want to invest in that situation.
All right, so I will clip this whole part, and then in 2023, when we meet in August, and Derrick Henry was a top three running back, I'm just gonna intro the podcast with this section. Say,
you just
nope,
troll,
can't
troll
do
me
it.
All you want at freezing cold takes.
Yes. I'll own it too, because I'm all on board with that.
I think you bring up a good point though, Tyler, because when people consume fantasy content, and I sort of sit on the fence where I'm a consumer. In just much as I am like a content creator, because I don't do fantasy, my own fantasy rankings, my tiers, anything like that. I have my opinion, but I consume everything and everybody trying to create the best possible decision. When, especially with my physical volatility tiers, which are published over at fantasypoints.com now, when I say I'm out on a player, 98% of the time, I'm not out the way I'm out on Derrick Henry. Usually there is a point where you are okay and comfortable taking that player. And it's not to say that I'm totally out on every player. It's just, they come with risk, right? Like if J.K. Dobbins falls to me in the fifth round, sixth round as my RB2, there's some inherent risk that comes with J.K. Dobbins this year. But if he's my RB2, a position that I already devalue personally anyway, like I'm fine with taking on that risk as it is. Just because a guy is risky doesn't mean I won't take him, if that makes sense. It's just a matter of balancing out the risk versus the reward.
Sounds good. Well, you know, just we are in the preseason right now. I think my first draft is in 11 days at this point. It's next Friday. So the big question is during the preseason, either now or going forward, what injuries scare you the most? You know, if a hamstring pops up or something like that, obviously, you know, the ACL happens like we thought happened with Zach Wilson. He's out for the year. You get it. But as far as what's going to impact the season, what scares you the most?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think if I had to put my finger on it, aside from the catastrophic ones, right, like the ACL, the Achilles, the patellar tendons, those things, aside from those catastrophic injuries, there's not a lot that happens in the preseason that concerns me too much. You can get your occasional Jones fracture, like with Etienne. But I mean, Mike Evans has had a hamstring strain since, you know, World War II, every offseason, preseason since World War II. And so that typically doesn't result, you know, okay, so the year 2019, actually, it did amount to a, you know, a bigger strain that he was out for the last like 3 or 4 weeks of the season in 2019. But since then, he's been fine. And that will become a concern as he gets older. but it's not a concern as of now, right? Russell Gage had a hamstring strain, whatever. We just got word today from Jordan Rodriguez, I think it was, that something soft tissue related happened to Henderson and Akers. Like, this is the ramp up period. That's totally normal. So I don't, other than like a catastrophic injury, I really can't say that anything concerns me too much, because it's either all or nothing, because they tend to bubble wrap the stars, the skill players, as soon as they show any signs of tightness. Like you saw Rashad Penny had groin tightness. Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to shut them down. Like, there's no point right now at this point in the season for them to just sort of, you know, turn the volume all the way up. So they just bubble wrap those guys and they let them rest. So I guess that's my answer. I don't really have anything I'm too nervous about at this point, unless it's like a big, big issue.
Well, I'm glad that I now have my new favorite hyperbolic comment in the fantasy realm is Mike Evans has had a hamstring issue since World War II. Absolutely love it. Bookmark that one.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. That is a good one. We were all cracking up on the screens as he said that.
Yeah, no, that I'm going to need your permission to cut that and use that anytime Mike Evans gets injured, because that's going to be one of those bumpers that's going to show up
time
and time again.
Next preseason, when he has a hamstrings tightness and he sits out practice, you can cut that. Now you can put it out.
Well, yeah, and previously it was Julio Jones, right? Julio Jones has hamstring tightness, and you could say that every single week of every single football season and be totally correct.
Yeah, Julio had something like every year, man. That was crazy.
Yeah, I think I had that. And last year we didn't get to the game because I was going to ask, is this player injury prone? Because of your classic series, injury prone is a lie. But yeah, Julio was like 3 or 4 injuries every year. And they were all like minor, but he's playing through them, blah, blah, blah. But Rob, I know you have a philosophy when it comes to preseason injuries and how you view them going into the regular season. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but
I'm not 100%.
Okay. Well, what I'm thinking of is your philosophy of if a guy doesn't get the full ramp up period, you tend to fade him in fantasy or if he's missing time.
Correct. Because then a lot of times when the regular season hits, then in my estimation, they don't, if they're missing that ramp up period, they don't ramp up as normal. So yeah, I think it's come up when people like have held out and missed a lot of the preseason. I fade them dramatically because they're missing that ramp up period, and they don't really do that in the regular season. You just go. Most people don't hold their stars back a whole lot once week one hits if they're have signed and, you know, they're finally going. So yeah, that's usually the situation, is that they missed time because not because they were hurt necessarily, but because they were just not there, holding out or for some other personal reason. Unless they're Tom Brady.
Yeah. From a scientific standpoint, is there any credence to that thought process, Edwin?
I think it's a good point, although I'm trying to think of situations where that might have been the case. I mean, I think we saw the macro level of it. I know for a fact, based on the data, when COVID hit and we didn't have camps, soft tissue injury rates were through the roof from weeks 1 through 3. So that's definitely something that we've seen in the literature. And the other thing is, I don't know. I mean, I consider guys like that have been suspended. You remember somebody like Ezekiel Elliott, right? Who had like a so many game suspension at one point. Le'Veon Bell came back after a year layoff. You have these guys where the layoff does impact them. I don't want to say it doesn't. I can't say one way or the other if it's every single time, every single player. I definitely think if you have a guy who has a history of soft tissue injuries and all of a sudden they get shut down for 2 weeks, like, I don't love that. But I wouldn't necessarily say blanket the entire time.
Well, then I guess that ties in pretty well. Let's go into players here. You talked about guys with a history of soft tissue injuries, and maybe this, and I don't remember with Rashad Penny what all of his stuff was, but this is a guy that has had injury history. Now, whether he's injury prone, you know, you decide, because I don't have the medical experience to do that. But, I panicked when I saw, okay, Penny has this soft tissue injury, and it's like, here we go again. Roll up Kenneth Walker. Let's go. But what are you seeing there?
With Penny specifically, it is getting tricky, I'll admit. you wouldn't have expected these soft tissue concerns because there weren't, at least in my memory, soft tissue concerns before the ACL. And so initially I wrote those off as workload concerns, sort of like what we just talked about, like you were saying. Now I'm not entirely certain that it's not a concern. I don't know why that would be the case. I don't have all the answers or explanations, but I can tell you that I don't love to see this groin tightness, especially since he's already had hamstring, calf. Like there's something going on there that I can't quite put my fingers on without examining him myself. So I don't really know what to make of it yet. All I know is that I'm never taking Rashad Penny unless he's my RB2. I know he's uber talented. I know he had a very similar physical profile and college profile as Darius Geis, somebody who before, you know, all he did all those terrible things was on the track to be a good NFL football player. We know all these things about Rashad Penny. We know that he came in and front office and coaching staff didn't agree on him taking him. We know he immediately broke his finger and couldn't get through camp. Then he tore the ACL in 2019 and it was a complicated ACL case. He had intra-articular damage. He was down for basically 2 years. That's when soft tissue stuff started. Last year, he had some soft tissue stuff. Now he's starting with the groin. I don't know yet. I can tell you that he's definitely a riskier bet, but and obviously the reward on him is probably moderate, right? Till little, given that offense as a whole. But I do think that if you're really piecemealing your RB2 together the way that I do in most of my drafts, like I have no problem taking Rashad Penny, just based on the fact that, you know, when it comes to Ken Walker, people aren't necessarily too high on him either, right? So it could very well end up being a timeshare. And if you need an RB2, like I said, in a pinch, I have no problem with Penny. I'm a penny pincher. How about that?
Oh, my.
Terrible.
No, love it. Count it.
Let's talk about two young running backs with catastrophic injuries, Cam Akers and James Robinson. I mean, Cam Akers seemed like he came back much earlier than we expected. And I believe there was some new procedure involved there that I am not even going to try to speak about because, again, I don't have that knowledge. But James Robinson seems back way earlier than anybody could have possibly expected. I just, like, from, again, a non-medical standpoint, I'm just sitting here going, there's no way, right? There's no way. Like, this has to be fool's gold.
Well, I think fool's gold would be taking it a little far, but I would say that I think people are a little too optimistic about that specifically. So what I mean by that is that this procedure isn't brand new, right? Dating back to Michael Crabtree, this procedure has been around the NFL. There's been a paper done on this procedure. The percutaneous pinning is what it's called already. So we've seen it before. It's not that it's something new. It's not as widespread. So the reason that's different is because it's a less invasive procedure to a certain degree, and the patient is able to start weight bearing and start rehab a lot sooner. And so you see those timelines start to cut down. But just like you saw with Akers, you know, coming back doesn't mean you're going to perform. So it's really something that you have to be careful with. And we know Akers didn't look great. And again, he was 6 months. He was 6 months and now he's going to be, you know, a year removed plus, but I just tweeted this a few minutes ago. You know, this doesn't come without precedent. Michael Crabtree tore his Achilles in May of 2013, was back playing in December of 2013. And he didn't look good for two seasons. Those last five games he came back from, and the next season he was wide receiver 50 or worse. And then in his third year, he was able to kick it back up. And I think it was somewhere between wide receiver 15 and 20. So those two seasons were really huge for Michael Crabtree. So basically what I'm saying is on Cam Akers, we've never seen a guy overcome this Achilles tear at the running back position. That is in Cam Akers' specific position. That doesn't mean it can't happen. It also doesn't prove that it will, if that makes sense. So that's sort of where I stand on Cam Akers. I'm lukewarm. And when he's in the third round and I'm passing on guys like maybe in home leagues, like if I'm passing on a T. Higgins or even maybe Michael Pittman slips down there, sometimes you get, you know, a really good running back value in the third round. Like I just can't seem to bring myself to stomach taking Cam Akers, especially after the Sean McVay comments, knowing that the Rams also never passed to the running backs. That's my spiel on Akers. I'm just lukewarm on him. It's like, it's whatever.
So thinking from a dynasty perspective on both of those guys, what are you looking for in either this coming season for Robinson or well, I guess this coming season for Akers, obviously coming from much different time periods, what are you looking for to say they'll be okay or they won't be okay going forward? You know, or I guess what's the red light that says sell immediately and get whatever you can now?
From a dynasty perspective, I mean, I hate to say it, to me, I would offload Robinson now. I think he's going to go into games. And again, this, I can't predict this. I haven't examined him. I think that he's going to look slow. He's going to look sluggish. He's going to be inefficient. And if he's going to come back and if he's going to have a career similar to Marlon Mack or similar to Deonta Foreman, I think that's really, I think, in my opinion, his ceiling. I hope not. I hope he proves me wrong. And I hope that's not the case. I just don't see him really being, you know, providing fantasy football value anymore at this point. But could happen. Could be wrong.
No, that's certainly validating. I think when we were going through the, we're in the process of going through the NFL divisions, and I think I compared Robinson to Marlon Mack straight up. So that works well. Rob, do you have something?
No, I was actually thinking Dante Foreman, the same kind of player. And the other thing I was thinking of is something that was, I think we talked about last year in the podcast we did with Edwin last year, was that, you know, if you weren't a what they call the spark athlete before, which we know that Robinson wasn't, I don't think he's going to all of a sudden be faster. You know, you always, I remember you talking about you come off slower, it's going to take you a little bit. Well, he was already among the slower running backs, more of a plotter. So I don't see much value for him this year. And like, if I had him in Dynasty, I'd be offloading while I can.
Yeah. And, you know, we see going to baseball, because obviously that's where Edwin works every day. We have seen pitchers with the UCL injuries come back and have more life on their fastball. And I believe, and Edwin, you can correct me here, that's because that is more of a long-term usage injury that then gets corrected. And then that adds more strength. Whereas the Achilles is obviously not so much a usage and a fraying and then a pop. Is that correct?
Yes and no. I think the big picture takeaway is the ligament is there for stability. The tendon is, and this is getting sort of into the weeds, the tendon is a muscular live tissue power transmitting tissue, right? So the ligament is static. Theoretically, when you put a ligament in there, it connects bone to bone. Theoretically, it just needs to be static and strong enough to hold stretch, right? A tendon is live. A tendon is an extension of the muscle to the bone. So that's why, and I think, and that's hard to communicate to the masses, right? Because everybody just wants to talk fantasy football. But like the bottom line is the reason an Achilles is so bad isn't simply because it's like an ACL, because it's not, right? That's the exact reason it's not. You have all those receptors, all of those different physiological characteristics in that live tendon tissue that feed back to the brain and allow for the muscles to fire and work the way they need to. Once that's disrupted, it's never the same. I think the best comparison I can come up with is an ACL is like, you know, nipping the bud of a plant and nipping the root. The root would be the Achilles, right? The ACL is the bud and the root is the Achilles. And that's really the best way to describe it. That's why there's such difficult injuries to come back from.
No, that's awesome insight. Obviously, you know, not being from the medical standpoint, I didn't have that knowledge that was that much different, I suppose. And maybe I'm just an idiot, which I'm sure my co-hosts would
agree. No, there's no reason why you should know that. No reason why you should know that.
Yeah.
I'll still agree with you, Tyler, that you're an idiot. I mean, we'll go with that.
You're an idiot. I mean, obviously you should hurt yourself more, because then you would learn how, you know, the different ligaments and tendons work in your body like I have.
Yeah, no.
True. True.
You are injury prone personified. So
yeah. I gotta say, with Blake's deep voice and not on the camera, I kind of get a little nervous and I start looking around like, is this voice from God? Like, does he not sound like the voice of God? Like, yeah. If Blake's voice is deep enough to scare the shit out of anybody, I think that if you just heard, imagine Blake's voice, and this is a compliment, right? It's a deep voice. If Blake was like, if I was in a dark place and all of a sudden I heard Blake's voice say anything, like he could say like strawberry pancakes, I would probably shit my pants. Like, that's just me though.
No, the best way I could describe Blake, since he's trying to be on camera, but Blake is an ent, and that's the best way I can describe him.
I like a tree ent from Lord of the Rings.
Right, a tree ent from like Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Well, I don't know what that is because I haven't read or seen the movie, so you're gonna have to tell me.
It's basically a giant tree that comes alive.
Yeah, and it talks really deep.
Sounds just as terrifying. Just as terrifying.
And except they walk
like this.
They take about a step every 30 seconds. Like they're big and slow and can barely move. And that's basically what Blake is.
Okay. I can take that.
Blake is like if Jason Witten at the end of his career had both of his legs cut off.
Oh.
Yes. Welcome to the Only About Blake podcast. I'm glad I could have
playing career or at the end of his broadcasting career. Ooh, at the end of his broadcasting career, he was pulling raps out of his head. Yeah.
Yeah. True.
You know what? I'm going to give you the platform now, Edwin. Get on your soapbox about Saquon and tell us why we shouldn't be afraid. Edwin's cracking his knuckles, getting all stretched out, getting ready to go.
Bad podcasting.
Yeah, great podcasting, since we're not going to release the video, so it's perfect.
Okay, yeah, exactly. All right. Here is where I'm at on Saquon Barkley. If he burned you last year, I'm not going to apologize to you because that's not my fault, right? It wasn't your fault either, but it definitely was not my fault. This is what you need to know about what happened with Saquon last year. Saquon Barkley was 10 and a half months post-op ACL. Saquon Barkley was a 98% spork athlete. He was a better athlete in our database at fantasypoints.com, better athlete than Adrian Peterson. He's like in the top 2% of athleticism. We also knew that his meniscus damage was minimal. He had almost 11 months to recover from that. We know that he was taken high. He had extremely high draft capital and was extremely talented. Those are all predictive. And he was an offensive player. Those are all predictive data points in the literature to identify players who are going to return to their previous form. You think of Adrian Peterson, you think of 2011 Jamal Charles. When you think of successful ACL tears and exceeding expectations, those are the two dudes you look at in reality. But we also know that when it comes to other guys, you know, second rounder coming back to perform like a second rounder, third to the third, fourth to the fourth, those data points still exist and they still matter. Young age is another thing. You look at younger than 20, 25 years old or younger, Saquon was 25 coming back from the injury. So you take all that into account into 2021, terrible offense, right? We cannot emphasize how bad the offense was. People were talking about the offensive line ad nauseum. That was probably the most annoying response I got in my mentions was, well, the offensive line. Yeah, the offensive line was trash. I get that, but it wasn't going to matter. Here's why. Because by the end of week four last year in 2021, Saquon Barkley was the RB9 on a points per game basis. He was the RB9, despite the fact that in week one, he played just 48% of the snaps. He saw 7 and 7 targets in weeks 3 and 4. He had like 21 and 29 fantasy points in week 3 and 4. The ACL was not going to impact him from a ceiling perspective. That we had 3 weeks worth of data points and 4 in the cumulative to show that, right? That's not to say that I'm not going to hammer the table and be stubborn when I know, you know, for example, if I was wrong, like on James Conner, I followed the process with Saquon Barkley. We should have reaped the rewards for Saquon Barkley last year, and we didn't. Why? Because in week five, after the whistle blew away from the ball, in a play that didn't involve Saquon Barkley, he stepped on a defender's foot. He rolled his ankle. I'm of the belief that he had a small fracture on the outside portion of his foot. You can play through those. They're a little painful, but they don't quite heal until the offseason. He didn't look the same. We had Saquon Barkley of old for a month of the season. Then he re-injured that ankle on an absolute fluke of a play. That was an absolute fluke of a situation. And I think anybody who argues otherwise is being disingenuous. Fast forward to 2021. He's another year removed from the ACL. If that's what bothered you in the first place, I shouldn't have, but whatever. You're another year removed from that. He's had an entire offseason to rehab from the ankle surgery, from the ankle injury. And now he's in a completely different offense where, you know, every running back and their dog lines up in the slot in the preseason, right? But, you know, he's never done that. You know, that to our knowledge, like Saquon Barkley's lining up in slot. There are reports that he's turning on the Jets and outrunning defenders in the preseason. There are no red flags There are no negative news lines. There's not even a timeshare that you're concerned about when it comes to Saquon Barkley. The only other running back that could potentially get the same workload as Saquon in 2022 is Christian McCaffrey. So those are all the reasons why the process for Saquon last year is just as accurate, if not more accurate, this year. Right? You follow process in fantasy football. Sometimes you lose. I get that. But you swing for the fences. You swing for upside. Saquon Barkley in some drafts is going as late as like the middle of the second. Dude, if I can get Saquon in the middle of the second, if I stack him with a Diggs or a CeeDee Lamb or even like a Travis Kelce, that is money to me. So no, I will not apologize to the audience. I will tell you to take him again. I will be indignant about taking Saquon Barkley this year. And that's my rant.
Yeah. So fuck you, Nate, is basically what Evan is saying.
Yeah, I traded
not
for
what
him.
Not what I said.
It's close. We're all saying it. As an aside, I traded for him in Dynasty on purpose this offseason to get him to put with the other running backs I have because I thought that highly of the new offense and that they're going to be using him. And then he's another year removed. And I remember in the back of my mind the things you said last year. And that injury was a fluke. You know, sorry, Nate, but it was a fluke. Not injury prone, should be back. And he's only, what, 26, 25?
He's 25 years old.
25, yeah.
He is 25 years old.
Yeah, what, isn't Najee 24?
Yeah, he's only a year older than Najee Harris.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too, is like, I think another legitimate, and I understand the only people, and I've told you guys this before, the only people who use injury prone and frustrate the hell out of me are the ones who are just being lazy about it. And they don't want to listen to any reasonable analysis. They just want to say that they're injury prone and move on. I mean, we did the same thing with Joe Mixon, right? I was telling you last year to buy Joe Mixon. What happened in 2020? Buy Joe Mixon. What happened to Joe Mixon? Well, he's been relatively healthy. The same thing happened with Keenan Allen. The same thing happened with Evan Ingram. I mean, these guys are playing full seasons, right? Like, I think that we only remember cycles of 2 years, in my opinion, and we forget what players can be. I mean, and even in sharp drafts, I'm actually surprised that in sharp drafts, Saquon's going behind Joe Mixon. I'm surprised he's going behind guys even like Derrick Henry. I'm surprised he's going behind guys like DeAndre Swift. I mean, Saquon's upside, just based on volume alone, is top 3 to 5 running back. And again, that's not to say that'll happen, but the dude is going to get so much volume and he's so talented and so young. I'll say this is the last thing we can get off this topic. I don't want to call it legitimate because it's not legitimate, but one concern that I understand the roots of is even sharper injury or fantasy analysts will say, well, I'm just afraid the explosiveness isn't there. And Blake is raising his hand. I'm sorry, Blake. I'm almost done.
No, you're good. Since he doesn't have a camera, that's how he wants to talk next.
It's just so we don't move on before the subject's closed.
Got you. The question of will he lose his explosiveness? Do you know when you worry about specifically losing explosiveness? Year one post-op ACL, if you're not Saquon Barkley and Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles and Achilles tears. Those are the two times you worry about and any type of like foot fracture. Those are the times that you worry about lack of explosiveness. If we weren't worried about lack of explosiveness for the ACL, we are damn sure not worried about lack of explosiveness coming off an ankle sprain. He's had a year to rehab. That's what I have to say about that.
So what I think our real conversation should be about is it solely a coincidence that in July of 2020, the Redskins got their name taken away from them, and then just a couple of months later was the beginning of the injuries for Saquon Barkley. Is it an inter-divisional curse that got put on Saquon?
That is the stretch of all stretches. Oh, my God. I mean, we couldn't even go with that they got their name taken away and then Alex Smith happened. You had to go to Saquon Barkley in division.
Listen, I was sitting here listening and I was like, you know what? I think those things happened around the same date. So let me go research. And yeah, it was like 2 months before Saquon got injured the first time was when the Redskins lost their name. I was like, let's do it. It's a bit of a stretch, but fuck it.
I'll tell you what. That was not worth raising your hand for. That was wild.
To me, it was, Tyler. To me, it was.
Worth a hand raise. It might have been worth a hand raise.
I mean, it was worth the hand raise. Yeah.
To add context, I did look it up. Saquon is 13 months older than Najee. So for a guy that's coming into a second year, that feels like, you know, he's got a lifetime ahead of him in the NFL versus Saquon, who feels like an old head, old busted at this point for a lot of people. yeah, you're talking 13 months difference. But I guess the last question I have on Saquon, Edwin, is in terms of the running backs, if you had to take, or if you're like, I'm walking away with Saquon, where are you taking him in terms of the other running backs? I would assume Taylor and McCaffrey are ahead of him.
If I'm following my analysts that I trust, if I'm whittling it down and I'm trying to think of the analysts that I trust the most, I would take him after McCaffrey, after Jonathan Taylor, maybe after Eckler. And those are the running backs, and maybe after Najee. Probably
Kamara
after
doesn't
Hector,
get up there
Hector Eckler
for you.
Kamara gets up there. But we just listed all the backs that I would take before I'd take Saquon or consider taking Saquon. So he's a top five guy to me. Saquon is a top five guy to me.
Okay. Well, one more because I know you got to get out of here. And then we have a game to play. But
Let's play the game. I want to play a game.
Yeah. Talk me off the ledge with CMC. I've been burned now. I had CMC in both of my main leagues, Dynasty and Redraft last year. I just need to be talked off the ledge because it's bad.
Okay, so here's the thing, too, is I think if I'm having an honest moment with myself, I'm probably more concerned with McCaffrey than I am specifically with Barkley, just because McCaffrey has had, let me explain, McCaffrey has had soft tissue stuff. That stuff is different. We just talked about that with Rashad Penny, right? He's had the quad in 2020, and then he had the hamstring last year. Okay, so don't panic yet. There's about an 8%, and then he had the lateral ankle sprain. Those can recur depending on how frequently they happen. Christian McCaffrey has about an 8% chance of returning his ankle like he did last year. And now that it's going to be a calendar year, he's got about a 5% chance to re-injure the hamstring. So those aren't huge numbers, right? Those aren't huge recurrences, but it is something you consider given the workload that they've been handing him over so easily. You do worry about the amount of snaps that he's on the field, the amount of steps that he's taking, right? The workload concerns to counteract that. And this stuff does matter, right? This is the stuff that I think is not fodder. He did an interview with Josina Anderson, and he was very specific about the certain things that he was doing to his regimen, to his routine. He said he was started doing a lot more gymnastics stuff. Well, from a rehab perspective, what gymnastics is a lot of stability. And what do you worry about with strains? It's not having that end range stability and that end range strength and proprioception. You start doing gymnastics, man, I should have done gymnastics. Like everybody should do, I think everybody should do gymnastics. Start doing gymnastics stuff. He said he started focusing a little bit more on flexibility, which is important. He also talks about how he and the coaching staff have agreed that if he needs to take a blow like on a Wednesday or a Thursday, he's going to take a blow on a Wednesday or a Thursday. That's something he didn't do. He hasn't done that. Derrick Henry started doing that 3 years ago. And that might be why Derrick Henry has pushed the limits as far as he can. So with all those things, knowing that he is addressing the soft tissue stuff, knowing that he's addressing the stability issues, knowing that he is going to take a break and manage his workloads when we need him to, in addition to Matt Rhule saying, no, I mean, we're going to attack with Christian McCaffrey. He's also still just 26 years old. I think this is a guy who, if he stays on the field, there is some risk to him, but it's to allay your fears a little bit, Tyler. I think the risk with McCaffrey is way overblown. I'm probably about 5 to 10% more concerned, or I'm sorry, 5 to 10% concerned comparatively to probably consensus on McCaffrey.
Okay. That last part makes me feel better. None of the rest of it did. And now I'm full blown panic mode. So Blake, Rob, unless you guys have any other questions for Edwin, we can get into this game.
No, let's do it.
Well, I did put it in the Google Doc. I don't know if you noticed, Tyler, here right before we started. Just because I was scrolling through new injuries, and since they have such a young running game in with the Jets, with Breece Hall, the rookie, and the second year guy Michael Carter there, Mekhi Becton, probably their veteran and most valuable lineman, going down for the season, does that affect that running game overall? I don't know. It's just a general fantasy question, not really an injury related question. I'm just curious.
I think that oftentimes we overvalue, this is my opinion, right? This is sort of my fantasy hot take. I think we overvalue offensive line play as fantasy players. I mean, we saw it with Saquon last year. I mean, he had the 3 weeks where he went off and the offensive line was like literally bottom five. The offense was bottom five. I think we overrate how good an offense really, like how much an offensive line really matters to fantasy specific purposes, especially if guys are pass catching backs. So not that it doesn't matter and not that it doesn't cap the upside. Like, you're not better as a team or as a running back when your starting offensive lineman goes down. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that, you know, Becton going down doesn't make me want to knock those running backs down by like 5-10 spots, right? It might be a splitting hairs decision. It's much more a splitting hairs decision for me when it comes to situations like that than it is a big mover.
Cool. All right, let's get into the game.
Hello. Do you want to play a game? Choose your character.
All right. So, in honor of Edwin being here with us, we are going to do the draft of the worst fantasy football injuries. Now, what we're talking about here, we're not talking about players. We're talking about when your player gets injured with injury X, you roll your eyes or you groan. And this applies to both dynasty injuries. You know, obvious one, Achilles, one of those big ones applies there, as well as redraft injuries where you have to manage it week to week. So, Edwin, since you're our guest, I'm going to let you set the draft order between us, and this will be a snake draft. So feel free to.
I don't know if this is a draft you want to win. Is this like, right? Like,
no, you know what I'm saying? Right?
We're gonna, kind of confused about the rules.
Yeah, we're going to post it to our. Yeah, we're going to post it to our audience afterwards and let them vote on who picked the worst fantasy football.
Okay. Yeah. I get it now. That's not fair. I'm going to have a totally different perspective than literally everybody.
You'll probably win.
All right. I'll take the one. Blake, since he scares me, takes the two. and we'll say Tyler, you're last. Okay. So I guess that's what we fill the third spot that way.
I got the turn,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. You trolled me in the beginning. I don't even remember what you said, but you trolled me. Yeah, that's what we'll do. So Rob's three.
Sounds good.
All right. So 101 of worst fantasy football injuries. Oh, and we also said, obviously, getting blinded would be a terrible injury, but how often does that happen?
Can we stick to football injury, common football injuries?
Right.
Correct. Okay. And so we have to say who and the auto vote on, oh, man, yeah, that set of injuries that, you know, Blake or Edwin drafted, that is the those are the worst injuries I never want to end up with. Is that what it is?
Yes. Right. Yes.
You don't want to have those injuries end up on your team, basically.
All right. Well, I mean, obviously I got to go with like Achilles 1.01. So I mean, right. Achilles 1.01.
Yep. That was my 101 as well. I don't know.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. No. Oh yeah. I think that's consensus. It might be consensus.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Achilles or ACL for me.
Yep.
And I'll take ACL.
I'll tell you what, that was my entire tier one. So that was easy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, those are the two.
Good idea. I kind of like this. This is one.
All right.
Oh,
so
Edwin, I planned for this. I have a whole ass spreadsheet of injuries that I have ready.
I mean, I have one that's worse when you have it. I mean, so this one's really annoying for the team, the one I'm thinking of, but it's not a really terrible injury. So I'm going to go with a terrible injury and go with a compound leg fracture.
Ooh, what Dak had.
Yes. Yeah. Compound fracture.
Put in parentheses, leg, Dak.
Whatever. Yeah, any of those kinds of things are just awful to come back from. So,
you don't want to see it.
You know they're gone.
We'll let it ride. We'll let it roll. We'll let it roll. Yeah,
I'm going to consider, because I have ankle fracture on my list, so I'm going to consider that out with Rob's thing there. Sure. I'm going to go one that is so annoying for me to deal with because there are so many different grades and there are so many different variables. Turf toe as my 104.
Okay. Really want to
get good value on that one, Tyler. Didn't get good value on that one, Tyler.
Didn't get good value on that. And then, I think, you know what? I'm going to go with the classics. I'm going to go with high ankle sprain as the two.
Oh, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted because that's an annoying one because you just never know.
Bad.
You know what? Another annoying one, and I'm just going to go for annoyance. I'm going to go Hammy. I hate them. You just never know how they're going to be. You know, they always try to come back too, well, not always, but a lot try to come back too soon, do it again. So I'm going with that. Hammy.
Fucking hell. I didn't think you were, I thought we were going to get out of the second round before I started losing or, you know, second things off the top of my head.
I love this. This is a good idea, guys.
I see, and Tyler, I knew this was going to be a bad draft for me just because outside the top like six, I don't know any injuries off the top of my head.
Like, you were cocking off that you've had every injury known to man. Just start going through your shit.
Just start going down
your body, man. Why don't you big toe right. fracture? I know you've had that.
You know, let's just do a meniscus tear.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if I can. I think I remember how to spell meniscus right. Nailed it.
I don't know.
Edwin, you got two. So am I allowed, my question here, and you can feel free to say no. I'm kind of leaning no. Am I allowed to say ACL plus meniscus?
I don't think so.
I'm not picking. I'm asking. Okay.
Because I think with ACL, we're combining severe ACLs like Dobbins.
For sure. All right. So let's do this. Spinal cord injury.
Oh, I had that up next.
You suck, Edwin. That was my next one.
It's pretty bad. I'd say that's pretty bad.
And you get two.
I didn't have that on my list purely because of the rate of injury there. Like, I feel like it's lower, but it's real fucking bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you didn't say most common, did you?
No, football injuries. No, football injuries, yeah.
Kind of sad we're only going four rounds here. This is kind of fun. Spinal cord. All right. Achilles tear, spinal cord. Let's go. I mean, we'll just do the sister injury, concussions.
There you go.
Okay. You know what, Edwin? You didn't get a good value there. I had concussion in my tier 5.
No values, tier 5.
Nope. Okay. No value there. That's a bad pick.
All right. What do we got here, Blake? Blake, you Googling? You Googling?
Yeah, I'm Googling for sure.
He's Googling.
Don't take mine.
Oh boy.
I have one that I'm begging falls to me. It's my last one, and I can get all of my tier 2 picks.
You know, we've mentioned it earlier on this podcast, and it comes up a lot, especially in our, you know, skill positions, running back, receiver. Let's go with a groin strain.
Oh.
Ooh.
Mm. Okay.
They do linger. Okay, I cannot pronounce this one, but I'm going to go with it. It's the plantar fasciitis, whatever.
Plantar fasciitis.
That's it. Give me that one.
All right, perfect. All of my tier 2.
Rob going a little unorthodox there. We don't see that often, but hey, we'll go with it, Rob. We'll go with it. Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's got it.
With pick 304, I'm going with a Jones fracture.
Decent value there.
And then I'm going to skip.
I hope you don't go what I want here. Don't snipe me.
Well, okay. I have something in tier 3, but I also, I have tiers here, and I also have a tier called yucky because whenever I see it, I'm like, ugh, gross. And so I'm deciding whether to go with a yucky tier or whether to go with a tier 3 here.
I'll just do something fun.
Well, nobody cares about your draft. Just make a pick.
Yeah. Then I'm going to go in the yucky tier, and I'm going to say elbow dislocation.
Oh yeah, that is yucky.
Man, you're just going for name value here. The listeners are just going to see name value, and they're going to say, elbow dislocations are so uncommon.
Yeah, but it's super yucky when it happens.
Not I'm going to go patella tendon.
Ooh, Rob, sneaking up on me on that one. That's a good one. I mean, a bad one.
Yeah, bad one. All right, I'm done.
Patellar tendonitis, is that what you're going with?
No, patella tendon.
Patella tendon rupture.
Rupture.
So basically what Becton just had, basically.
All right. I don't know. We're really at the end of my
Google quick search
knowledge here. And the Google search, that's pretty much exhausted. I'm torn between, I mean, it's
get it torn.
Let's go. If I say hand injuries, does that encapsulate wrist dislocations, wrist.
Are you just, are you only going hand injuries? What the fuck are you talking about? You got to give me something there. You get now, anything that happens to a hand?
I don't see. Now I'll go wrist.
Wrist okay. What?
Njoku.
Wrist fractures, wrist okay. Strains, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, no, at this point, Blake is just saying injuries that he's had.
Yeah, I am. how about wrist MSDs, musculoskeletal disorders in the wrist?
Sure.
Yeah, that was for sure a Google.
It actually wasn't. That was the only thing that wasn't a Google.
All right, Edwin with the final pick of the draft here.
Bring
I'm kind
us
of
home.
Interested. I'm kind of interested that you all let this one slip as far as you did. I mean, this is kind of like getting McCaffrey in like the third round. Throw Lisfranc on there.
So that's what I was between on the elbow dislocation or Lisfranc. That is what Lisfranc's I was.
Way worse, buddy. Way worse.
That was my last tier three, but I was told that I should just go in the
spelling.
Yucky tier.
I love that spelling.
Blake, that is an abomination. Here's how Blake spelled Lisfranc. L-I-Z dash F-R-A-N-K.
Oh, man. Blake, I love you forever.
Oh, what, oh is that man. Not right?
No, not even close.
Frank. I love the effort, Frank. Though. It's good hustle. It's good. Yeah, good old Liz. Everybody
wasn't Liz Frank the one with the diary?
Right. Yes.
That's Anne Frank. Anne Frank.
Oh, it was her dad. That's right.
That's what it was.
So, honorable mentions. Like I said, Liz Frank was my potential fourth round that I went. I had AC joint sprain as my next one.
It's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good
one.
Anybody else have?
Those are all good.
I had
MCL,
shoulder dislocation.
MCL, shoulder dislocation. Dalvin Cook could have done there. Could have gone there.
Yeah, I thought arm stuff.
I mean, I was thinking like rib fractures, but those don't happen very often, and they're not terrible.
Well, they happen more often than you think.
Ooh, but those actually, you know, those could have made the board because if you have a running back with one of those, it's annoying as all fuck.
Game over. Yeah. Game over.
And I mean, and you can look back, you know, in like the like 2010 to like 2013 felt like there was like a collarbone fracture every other week.
Oh yeah, collarbone fractures.
The only reason I didn't have collarbone fracture is because I feel like it's pretty straightforward and it's not a season ender.
I just burped into the mic. Excuse me.
Fine.
I'm getting bloated from hearing all your reasoning, Tyler.
Yeah, that's fair. I also had hip pointers on there. And I was thinking about putting stingers just because your player misses some time during the game if they have one. And
yeah,
so from
Elijah Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm looking at my draft and I feel like this is one of those ones where, you know, if I present this to a group of PTs, they'll be like, ooh, that's definitely the worst one. But like, it's not going to be a sharp draft room that we're showing these two, that we're presenting these two. That's not really fair. Right.
That seemed backhanded slightly. Oh, it's not going to be a bunch only of doctors that you show it to. It's probably just going to be.
That's
you know,
not what I meant.
You jamokes from Iowa. Meant.
No, that's not what I meant. I'm simply saying, maybe you should edit this out now because it did come off that way. Too late. All right. Yep. I dug my grave. I'm definitely not going to win now.
Yeah, that's we fine. Know what you that's meant. Fine.
Hey, right, what are you talking about? All of our listeners hate us. They're definitely going to vote against us.
That is very true. That is very true. Yeah, if our listeners hate anything, it's us.
Yeah. You have this hands down.
We'll recap the draft here. So Edwin got Achilles tear 101, spinal cord injury 204, concussions 301, and Lisfranc 401.
This is an interesting concept.
No, 404. Blake had ACL 102. Boy, I'm all kinds of off because we have more than three drafters. 102 ACL, 203 meniscus, 302 groin strain, and 403 wrist MSDs. I don't think, I'm pretty sure that's what you put to season your food, isn't it? Wrist MSDs. Like that's what's in all the Chinese food. Rob got that joke didn't hit at all. Rob got compound fracture with the 103, which I think we should have made him choose between leg and arm, but whatever.
Leg.
Hamstring with the 202, plantar fasciitis with the 303, and patellar tendon with the 402. And I got turf toe and high ankle on the turn, and then Jones fracture and elbow dislocation. So
yeah, everybody has some good ones.
I mean, I clearly have the best draft, as I have the entire rest of the season.
Don't roster bait just yet. Don't roster bait just.
Oh,
strongly disagree.
Oh, Edwin, we've been doing drafts in every single. So we've done best songs of all time. Did best video games of all time. What else have we done? Or those the only two?
Those are the only two.
Yeah.
Those
are the only two. We still have.
You thought you did so many, right? You did
two
drafts.
You're way overshooting this, buddy.
When you spend this much time with these people, it sure feels like a long time.
Well, I mean, you must have nothing else to do in Iowa. Shout out
clear.
To
everyone. That's very true.
Yeah, you hit that right.
But as always, the Google form to vote on our draft will be in the description. Go tell us who won. Make sure you follow Edwin on Twitter at FB Injury Doc. Make sure you sign up, or if you sign up for a Fantasy Point subscription, use promo code PORRAS22, PORRAS22 for 10% off. To read more of his work, go subscribe to the Injury Prone Podcast, wherever podcasts are found, and go sign up for Edwin's Injury Prone newsletter, which is the only newsletter to guarantee it pulls its hamstring on the way to your inbox. Edwin, is there anything I missed plugging there?
No, you're good. That's perfect. Everything's great. This was fun, guys.
Yep. Beautiful. Well, then with
always
that,
good
we'll,
to have you, Edwin.
Yes, we'll thank you very much for coming on again.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I have fun with you guys. You're fun. See you later, voice of God.
See ya.